previously on Corporate Homie.
We talking about Beyonce's homecoming.
She understands she's in charge. It doesn't matter if you don't get that.
Old things can become new things.
I don't think you should be so ethnic. I don't think you should be so Negro.
She probably gave the blackity blackitest performance ever.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
the Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos debacle.
Fake it till you make it will go wrong.
It was all smoke and mirrors.
If you build it on a lie, the lie will bury you.
Hey, homies.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Whoop, whoop. Well, we are so excited. And when I say me, is we're going to talk about business lessons learned from the Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos situation.
Debacle.
I mean, it was... I'm so intrigued by this. I have read several articles. I watched the documentary. I listened to the podcast. If you haven't listened to the podcast on this, it's only about 6 episodes. They're about 40 minutes each, and it's called The Dropout. But I'm just so intrigued.
So give the homie some background for those who don't know her.
So little background. So Elizabeth Holmes... starts a company while she is an undergraduate student at Stanford University called Theranos. And her claim is that this company, instead of you having to use a needle and have a vial of blood taken to run diagnostic tests, you know, diabetes or what have you, she had come up with and developed a way that you could just prick one finger, and it could run up to 225 diagnostic tests on this one prick of blood. She raised over $1 billion. I'm going to repeat that. She raised over $1 billion for her company.
She sure did.
She had celebrities. She had Henry Kissinger. She had former employees, like the number two employee from Apple at her company. And it was all a fraud. It never worked. She never had a solution. It was all smoke and mirrors. And so we want to talk about what we've learned, good and bad, from the Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos situation. So should we get into it?
Let's get into it. So you're right. I have not studied it as much as you have, but certainly have been fascinated with her. So my first lesson from this whole debacle is fake it till you make it will go wrong.
I mean, she faked it for eight years or something,
right? Yeah, but she is the classic fake it till you make it.
Look the part, be the part,
right? So she had the whole kind of Steve Jobs black turtleneck, crisp clean cut look. You know, her intonation of her voice, all of that, never really was sharing much. And it really just, she's an example of, you can only fake it so long. At some point, you're going to have to put some dope on the table. You're going to have to actually produce substantively. You won't be able to do that forever.
And what I found interesting about the whole faking it till you make it, because you're right, she basically, when they would ask her substantive questions about the technology or the science, she would say things like, well, that's proprietary and I can't share that, you know, with you. But people would say things like, when you were around Elizabeth, you knew you were in the presence of greatness, like being around Mozart. And I thought to myself, we were not alive when Mozart was alive. You weren't around him. You don't know what that feels like. What are you talking about? Right? So, but people, she had created this aura that she was on a different level, and people bought it. I mean, it was just faking it, right? So I think that's a very good point. My first tip is relationships matter, because the technology never worked. So the way that she was, you know, doing all this was solely off of her personal relationships. And then those people were bringing in their personal relationships. And then it kind of snowballed from there. And I'm going to pause there because I want to get into some other points about how that happened. But it all began through relationships.
Yes. And so that takes me into, you're right, relationships matter. And we tell people this all the time. You're not in the, you know, banking game. You're not in the legal game. You're not in the architecture game. You're in the relationship game.
You're in the people business.
You're in the people business. Everyone is in the people business. And so just remember, you're dealing with people, which takes me to my next point, which is people make decisions, even very big ones, with emotion.
Okay.
Because they didn't have the facts. They did not have the facts. They did not have the science. They did not have the data. So if they weren't making them with that, what were they making them with? A gut feeling, an emotion. Like you said, something told me she's going to be great. This is the next best thing. I better be a part of it. Because it wasn't about anything substantive. Because even her professor at school said, I told her from the beginning, that's crazy. That will never work.
She sure did.
She was like, I when Elizabeth came to me and she was like, you know, so I thought that's no.
That's not possible.
That's not possible. And yet people got on board and just, it felt good. They liked the way it felt. They wanted to be a part of it and put their money in.
I mean, it just dovetails nicely to my next point, which is do your own research. And I keep all of my friends that I talk to about this, I'm like, they're like, that would never happen to folks like us. I'm like, sure it could. I said, if I came to my friends and they are attorneys and architects and pastors in education, and I said, hey, I've looked at this company, I'm putting in $25,000 of my own money. What people think is, well, Bemetra's the finance person. And so if she put in 25, she did the vetting. She did the analysis, and then Demetra
and I can rely on her vetting, and that's what everybody did. And so, it's Warren in for 20. I'll give you 20.
And then Demetra's in, and they're like, well, you know, Demetra, so and so, she talked to B, and then Kim is like, well, I know D has questions, so if D's in, then and B are in, I'm in, and then it just snowballs. But that cannot happen to you if you do your own research. If you actually have your own questions and do your own analysis, with whatever knowledge that you have, and that's the same way how you don't end up in organizations that you don't want to be in or on boards that you don't want to be about. Just because somebody else is on that or somebody else is in that organization doesn't mean that you're supposed to be a Link or in Athena or whatever. Like, do your own research.
Oh, that is so true, right? You cannot assume. Or at least at a bare minimum, get a copy of the research they did.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it was just like, you good? And people right, just want to check.
Right. If you want to rely on Bemetra's research, have her forward you a copy of her research and data, empirical data. That's a really good point. I love that. And definitely, I think that we have all had some experience with that, where we hired someone based on someone else's recommendation, only to find out that person wasn't great. And then not only did it taint the brand of the person I hired, but it tainted the person who gave me the recommendation, because you're like, okay, you don't have a brand that's tried and true. But also, like you said, but my bad, because I should have done
my own research.
Yep. My next point is money can't solve everything. She had a lot of money. They had, like you said, she initially raised out the gate, like she had $45 million in investment at the very beginning in investment capital, and went on to raise, like you said, you know, upwards of $1 billion. But money couldn't solve the fact that the technology didn't work. So money can't solve everything. Money can't solve organizational challenges. It can't solve a deficient product. So it doesn't matter how much money you have if the core things, the foundation of the project or of the business are not correct, are not good. So if you don't have those in place, it won't matter how much money
you have. So like if you don't know the law, It doesn't matter if you return emails on time. It doesn't matter if you are, if you send handwritten notes and say thank you. If you actually don't know how to practice law, none of that matters. And this is the same thing here.
Same thing.
It's the exact same thing. And you were saying that she raised $45 million out of the gate, which is my next point, which we did a whole episode on the education cheating scandal. Pedigree matters, because the reason why she was able to raise $45 million out of the gate is because, as I like to say, because she was Stanford going. She didn't graduate.
She was Stanford going. She was Stanford going.
She had two things that people started writing checks for. She was a student at Stanford. I'm sorry, three things. She was a student at Stanford. She got one of her professors to sit on her board. And then he got the number two employee, or the second employee ever at Apple to come on board. So it was, they were out saying this, some version of this. Apple, Stanford, Apple, Stanford. Stanford, Apple. And people...
Apple, Apple, Stanford.
And people were like...
Stapple.
Stapple. Right, Stapple. And people were like, I'm in. Because pedigree matters. Because I can promise you this.
Yes.
You could have that same idea, and you went to Christian Brothers University for two semesters,
and it's not,
and you could get, and you could get somebody from Buckman Labs to sit on your board, and you're not raising $45 million
$45 million out the gate. And you know, it's funny you say this, because pedigree is something people really struggle with. Or let me say this: people without pedigree really struggle with it.
Hello, somebody.
Right, because those of us who don't have pedigree want to believe it's not that big of a factor.
But it is.
But it is. But it is. And pedigree is the rule. Are there exceptions to that rule?
Sure.
Absolutely. Can you tell me a story of a person who went to Christian Brothers who raised a bunch of money for their business? Of course you can. But that's not the rule. That's the exception. The rule at Stanford is lots of people, like you said, who are Stanford going.
Stanford going, not graduated.
Not graduated can do that. That is not the same thing for Christian Brothers Galway.
And that's why I used the CBU and Buckman Labs, because that's real. You're not raising 45.
That's right. Those are raising 45. You're not going to raise that kind of money. Right. It just doesn't have that. My next tip was, if you build it on a lie, the lie will bury you. Like, so let's don't, to put it all in context, like, she built this whole business on a lie, and now, not only did she lose all these people's money and trust and her brand and all of her relationships, but she is facing 11 criminal felony charges and potentially 20 years in prison.
For a lie.
So it's kind of like, it's like she's the, what's it called? The Firefly Festival
of technology.
Of venture
startups.
Capitalists.
Yeah. She's the Fire Festival of technology. Like, of startups.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the lie will bury you. And the problem with telling a lie is that you have to keep lying. So you have to keep building on the lie. So you can't tell one lie. And that's what starts making it turn into criminal
activity. And so what's interesting is, initially, I don't think that she was lying, right? I think she was trying to flesh the technology out. She was trying to make the science work. But as she raised more money, she was telling bigger lies to get that money in. Because she was literally sitting down with investors and saying things like, this is being used by the U.S. military in the battlefields. That was not true. And that's true.
That
and then, like,
true.
For example, when they did the whole fake lab for Joe Biden to come and test, and they were actually using competitors' machines to run the diagnostic tests. I mean, the idea that she was able to develop a Walgreens partnership, I can't believe the Walgreens people did not come in the meeting and say, let's prick our fingers right now. Let's run it. Let's see it in action. Right? It's just amazing to me. So, yes, you said the lie will definitely bury you. All those examples I just gave feed into my next point, which is adult FOMO exists, right? Adults don't want to miss out either. And, you know, you had this charismatic, you know, you said Stanford going, Apple, professors. Now you got these celebrities. All this money has been put into this company and no one wants to miss out. And the biggest example of that to me, of how just her charisma was had to be or is, because she's not dead, intoxicating, as they were interviewing on the podcast former employees who left because they were uncomfortable with the lies that were being told to investors to raise money. And then she was like on like Forbes magazine or like being interviewed by like Bill Clinton. And then they're like, hey, shoot, did we mess up? Did we leave too early? Did she figure it out? And then they're like, what are we talking about? We work there. We know this doesn't work. But watching her on TV, they were sitting at home questioning
themselves because she is. And I think that people forget that about people that are really charismatic, right? It's how you get people to join cults. It's how you get people to drink the Kool-Aid. It's how you get it's why you get people following thousands of people on social media and they live with their mama.
It's why you can write a relationship book and you've been divorced three times.
Right. It's why you're buying the pastor, a Louis Vuitton and a big house and you can't pay your light bill because there are people that they have this thing that other people just want. Yes, but it's almost more than that, right? It's an inexplicable something. Like you said, that even the people who were there were like,
maybe we should go back. And they had a front row seat. They knew it. And they were still like, maybe we should go back.
So that takes me to my last point, which is mindset drives behavior. At the end of the day, people want to, they will get behind you. They will follow you and they will start behaving based on the leader's mindset. And so whatever the leader is saying, they're just going to get behind that and follow that. As always, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have a topic that you want covered, feel free to reach out at questions@corporatehomie.com or hit us on any of our social. We have the same handle on all social, which is @corporatehomie.
And if you would like for us to come and speak, feel free to send us an email at info@corporatehomie.com. And as always, thank you for listening. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies. All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.